Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Ms. Golden to You Radio Show, First Lady with the Facts on Culturally Radio Network, where urban culture lives. I'm so excited. You know, I'm always excited about the guests coming on my show, but tonight's guests have an extraordinary story to tell. I can't wait for them to share it with you. Once again, I got my sister, my co-host, Addie Palachi on the line. We're going to have to come up with a radio name for her. What y'all think? Hey, sister, how you doing?
Hey, sis, how you doing? Hi, everybody.
Yeah, so we're going to swing right onto the show tonight because we are, we can't wait to dig into the meat and potatoes of this thing. So welcome to the Ms. Goldie to You Radio Show, and here we go.
Don't let the sex in this fool you, I go to a limit. Big in the space, and I spit lyrics for this. Spectacular, how they rape my vernacular. Bring it full throttle for the ones that be acting up. Raised in the hood, got that OG wisdom. With the tongue, why I give them what I give them. Don't chase paper cause it crossed my path. Hate on my path, you won't feel the wrath. My name is written in scripture, cold like Da Vinci, image ingrained in your brain. Mental picture, need no convincing. Might sound offensive, but I'm pushing labels missing.
Are you looking to build your online presence and increase your landing page visits? You need JDS Online Marketing. We offer the services you need to maximize your online exposure without breaking the bank. We specialize in social media management, website creation, target marketing, and most important, brand SEO. Take advantage of our free consultation by logging on to jdsonlinemarketing.com. That's jdsonlinemarketing.com, your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
If you are now just tuning in, you are now live with the Ms. Goldie to You Radio Show, First Lady with the Facts on Culturezine Radio Network. We live tonight. You know what? I was in New York. Shout out to Under Lock and Key Entertainment. Shout out to Mike Ice and the whole Under Lock and Key camp, Angie Mulani. And I mean, he got a fire camp right now. So shout out to them. We was over there. We was doing the mixtape. The mixtape is dropping soon. And, of course, you know, the first lady got some features on there. So, you know, I hit up Mike earlier, right? Sister asked him, I said, you know, can I play that song on my show tonight? So he didn't ever answer me. So technically, I guess I would be leaking it, right? But I just got to leak a few seconds of it. Here we go.
Yeah, First Lady, Under Lock and Key.
Spit that fact, sis.
Andrew Mulani. Be locked, be that mistress. I move is better shape. Blocking all hatred. First Lady spit facts. Haters keep hating, got no love for debaters. Never mind what you heard.
All right, that's it. I guess I can't leak no more than that. That was like under 30 seconds or something, right? I think that song is going to be so fun. You said what?
I said you teasing us heavy on that.
Yeah.
You know you're dope, Goldie.
Yeah, so shout out to Mike Ice, Under Lock and Key. We're gonna be having a mixtape release party coming up soon. So stay tuned on the information on that. And right now, I am going to take you to my partner out here in ATL. She's straight out of Chicago. Her name is Shavinelli, Miss Shavy Bars. She's a female MC, but she's more than an MC. I love it. She's my partner, and she just made me the vice president of Doe Girl Music. So shout out to Doe Girl Music Group. We are going to be an all-female, well, we are an all-female music group and always looking for female talent, always looking to help out women in this industry. We know how hard it is. So we out here looking to help out other women. And here we go with Shavinelli with My Love. And we'll be right back with the Miss Goldie 2 Radio Show. Culture Zine Radio Network, where urban culture lives. Welcome to the show. We just was listening to my girl Chavanelli with My Love. Shout out to Dope Girl Music. That's right, you heard it right. Miss Scody is the new VP of Dope Girl Music. And shout out to Worldwide Entertainment TV out there listening, showing love to the Miss Goldie to You show, blasting us on their website and everything. Yes, I just love it. I love when people support one another. I'm so excited about my guest that we will be chopping it up with in a very few minutes. My guest, Mr. Rayshawn Hughes and Mr. Andre, we're going to have them on the line from Youthville United Way of Long Island. And before we get into that, we are going to take it to Artist of the Week. Over here at Culture Zine Radio Network, we always have an Artist of the Week, Artist of the Month. Log on to the website, www.culturezineradionetwork.com. If you want to feature your music on here, if you want to run an ad, you know, we love the new artists. We love to support artists. And we always out here breaking records. So here we go, Mr. Tony Neal. Everybody knows Tony Neal. If you're in the music industry, if you make music, you need to know Tony Neal.
Here we go. It's your boy, Puerto Rican. I got the Colonel with me. Hank, I see you. It's that Ferrari infidelity.
Now when it comes to the money, man, it feel like that. Man, it feel like that. I'm always talking to the money like that, my girl. Ooh, that's my chick. She all so beautiful. I can't get over you.
When I ride through the city with my chick on my side while I'm playing in it. Have you ever took a nap on a whole lot of cash? Match full of blue faces, got me sleeping on the stage. Have you ever lost it all, watch your friends disappear? Beat it all back and watch it quit, they reappear. Money, 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 I'm in love with the rack. Something like my woman trying to get it in the sack. Money, 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 yeah, she's something like my chick. We took a lot of trips and we made a lot of flips. Ever get my old lady, better know how to treat her. Anyone to get her with the fingers, can't keep her. Reminiscing about the trap on how I used to get paid. Thumbing through the checks, feeling like I'm getting laid.
Now when it comes to the money, man, it feel like that. Better feel like
better
sound of smooth jazz and R&B. Get into the groove. Guitarist Mark Drummond and Groovometry. Six Strings, One Love, Chill Out Tronica, and Too Smooth for Words with Daniel A. Nelson. The new sound of smooth jazz and R&B is available now from Mark Drummond and Groovometry from iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, and all digital distributors.
If you have just tuned in, you are now live with the Miss Goldie to You radio show, First Lady with the Facts on Culture Zine Radio Network, where urban culture lives. I got an event going on out here in Atlanta on June 3rd. It's a major, major casting call. It's a free event, a networking event. We're going to have free giveaways, radio interviews. They're going to be live streaming with IBNX Radio, Ms. Goldie to You Radio. They're giving away studio time, pictures. You get to network with a lot of people, and not to mention a major, major film and video director from Atlanta, director Todd Uno, will be out there looking for extras and models for a film he's working on with another artist I work with named Capical for a movie called Guala and a video, Grams on Grams, featuring Baby D of AMG. So you might want to come on out. That's June 3rd. That's 2616 Old Wesley Chapel Road. In Decatur, it's from 2 to 6. I'm going to be out there live broadcasting. What's Next Radio will be out there live broadcasting. And I mean, it's just such an awesome opportunity. If you know anybody, let them know. Holla at Ms. Goldie. But before I bring my very special guest on the line, I was just, you know, searching my life and searching myself about, we can just go through this life and not ever do anything for anyone, because technically, we don't have to, and we can just live our own lives, but it's so selfless when you're so willing to help other people, when you are willing to do things to other people, when you are willing to make right things that are wrong, things that you have done wrong. And I commend people that do things like that. And the only way we can do those things is by starting with ourselves. So we can't help anyone, actually, unless we can help ourselves. So this is why I picked this next song before I bring my guest on the line. Michael Jackson, Man in the Mirror. And we'll be back with the Miss Goldie to You radio show.
I'm gonna make a change for once in my life. Gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street with not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them need? I saw the disregard, a broken bottle top, and a one-man show. They follow each other on the wind, you know, 'cause they got nowhere to go. That's why no one yet does know.
They follow the
Yes, and if you have just tuned in, you are now listening to the Miss Goldie to You radio show, First Lady with the Facts. Y'all know Michael Jackson can be a little long-winded on one of the tracks, right? So, you know, sometimes you gotta cut Mike off. But I love Michael Jackson. Rest in peace to Michael Jackson. Right now, I have my guests on the line, Mr. Rayshawn Hughes and Mr. Andre Galloway. Hi, gentlemen.
How you
Welcome,
doing?
Gentlemen.
Welcome. Hello. Thanks for having us.
How you doing?
Yes, welcome to the Miss Goldie to You radio show. I got my lovely sister, my co-host on the line, Addie Pilachi. And we have been talking about you guys all day. And we're really excited about having you on the show. And thank you.
Thank you for having us.
It's a pleasure to have you, gentlemen, on.
I just want to tell everybody where you're at. Tell everybody where you're at right now, because it's kind of noisy in your background.
Well, right now we brought 20 of our students out to Chase City Field in New York, a baseball game. We mentor young adults out here in New York, and this is what we do.
Okay, so I was just telling them to let you know that, so you can know, you know, they have a lot of background with that, because they were still willing to do the interview, even though it had to take 10 kids to a baseball game right now. So, hi, Andre, are you there too?
Hello?
Hi, Andre. Hi, Mr. Galloway.
Okay, how you doing? How you doing, though? Yeah.
Good.
We're on City Field. That's probably why you hear the background noise.
Right. I love it. I wish I was at City Field.
Yeah.
So, tell us where you guys are from.
Well, I'm from Roosevelt. My name is Andre Galloway. I'm from Roosevelt, Long Island, originally. And right now I reside in Queens. And we work at United Way with a group called Youthville, with students from 18 to 24 years old.
All right. I just want to know where you're from. Andre, you know what? I'm only laughing because me and Rayshawn had a conversation earlier. So you missed that conversation, right? So that's why I'm just laughing right now. Did you both grow up in Long Island, Rayshawn? Where you from?
I'm from Uniondale, Long Island. And both me and Mr. Galloway grew up in Long Island together. We were childhood friends. And our journeys are similar. So we've just been together for some time. And we're just blessed to be together today and do the work that we do.
Right, right. So what was it like growing up in Long Island?
Well, I originally was born in Queens. And when I moved to Long Island, I thought I moved to a different planet. You know, growing up in Queens, it was a faster lifestyle. So when I moved to Long Island, everything slowed down for me. And when I was in Queens, I was a little fish in a big pond. And then I moved to Long Island, I suddenly became a big fish in a little pond. And for me, that was very dangerous for my young mind. And I got
together with
people like Mr. Galloway.
All right, so hold on. Wait a minute. So you moved from Queens to Long Island, and people that are not from New York or from anywhere, living in Queens is like living in a city, where living in Long Island is like living in a suburb. So going from Queens to Long Island, did you guys like grow up in a house? Did you grow up, where did you guys basically grow up coming up as young guys?
Well, I grew up in Roosevelt. I grew up in a house. I was a family in a house with four sisters there.
And I grew up, initially, up until the age of 15, I grew up in the projects. And then my mother moved up to Long Island, which was a drastic change for me. So I went from the projects to a house. And that's what my mother was rich. Yes.
Yeah, that's what I was actually trying to get at, because I know the difference between living in Queens and living in Long Island. That's like living in the Bronx or living in Westchester County.
Exactly.
And it's like you moved on up. Like somebody must have got some money if we could move to all these.
Yeah, I swear I thought my mother was
Long
rich.
Island. Yeah, you kind of thought you might had a little bit of paper if you had.
Yeah,
some
my mom was rich. That was a dream. That was. That dream suddenly
right.
came to a halt. I went from concrete to having to cut grass.
What type of role models did you have out there in Long Island? What type of programs was out there for you as a kid growing up?
Well, I grew up in Roosevelt. It was predominantly black at the time. And we didn't have much in terms of, like, programs. So growing up out there outside of karate class and going to football practice, going to football and playing sports and things of that nature. It wasn't much there because it's only one square mile, so it's not that many people there, and there wasn't a lot of programs provided for us and everything.
And then where I grew up at, there was role models. Uh-huh. I must say there was role models where I grew up. I grew up in Uniondale, Long Island. Like Mr. Galloway said, there was a lot of sports. Sports was the main thing. If you could play sports, you was that kid. Long Island, for whatever reason, put a lot of money and a lot of importance on sports. I was an athlete, as well as Mr. Galloway was an athlete. So they were role models. I just didn't. Those were the role models I was attracted to.
What type of role models were you attracted to, and what type of decisions were you making at the point of entering into adulthood?
Well, the role models I was attracted to were the guys in the street. You know, coming out of Queens,
right.
I seen a lot of guys making a lot of money. I grew up without a father, so there was really no solid father figure in my household. So I searched for that father figure outside of my household. And when I seen dudes on the street that was making money, they had the Cadillacs at the time. Those are the guys I looked up to, you know. Individuals that
were
deep in the streets. Those were my role models. So when I moved to Long Island, it was the same thing. I was looking for that individual out there. And those are the guys that I admired. Those are the guys that I thought had credibility. Those are the guys that I gave value to. So for me, that's what it was for me.
Yeah,
I have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead.
So within you finding that was there where you're originally from, but then you go to this small town where you say that if you become the big fish in a pond or whatever else, did you reverse those roles and play the same idol that you wanted?
Exactly. When I moved to Long Island, I became that person. Like, I suddenly seen the false sense of power in that. I became valued. Where I was lacking, you know, as a young man growing up in Queens, I realized today that I was lacking a lot of things. I was insecure. I was scared. And then I went to Long Island and became the man, you know, so to speak.
Right.
Because I dressed different. I talked different. My swag was different. People valued me for all the wrong reasons. And for a young individual, it was a lot of that validation that people gave me was something that was very powerful and influential on the way I behaved and the choices I made in my life. So, yes, you're right when it comes to that. Going to Long Island, I suddenly became the person that I always looked up to.
You became the man then.
The man, not a man, but the man.
The man. So
I like that. I like that.
I like
not
that too.
Man.
I didn't become a man. I became the man. So
yes,
what was your lifestyle like after that? What did your life become after that?
It became, I just walked the path of destruction. Like, I suddenly became an individual that, for one, I grew up in a town that was in the midst of Roosevelt, Hempstead, and Freeport. And these towns were known to get busy. And Uniondale was a little town in between all these towns that was just known for being what they called or labeled soft.
Right.
So suddenly I became the individual that wanted to rep Uniondale. Like, nah, we're going to change the way we're viewed. And so I took on the stance that we're going to hold Uniondale down. Uniondale's going to start making some noise. We're not going to let these surrounding towns come in and punk us. And
right.
Doing that, you know, I got a lot of a false sense of power. But at the time, it was something I truly enjoyed. I loved the fact that people depended upon me to lead them to defend something that we shouldn't have been defending at all. And opposed to going to school, I just got on some street stuff and wanted to be a street soldier, so to speak.
So how about you, Mr. Galloway? What, as a young adult growing up on your side, Roosevelt, what was it like for you as a young man?
Well, I grew up with four sisters. I'm an only boy. And it was like I just had a point to prove. I had a point to prove, and the point to where I was like, I wanted to be accepted towards the street, so I hung out with a lot of older guys, people that were a little older than me. And those were predominantly like my role models. I had an uncle that was like a person I looked up to where he did a lot of negative things, and I like looked up to him and started emulating him in certain things, you know. And once I got on the street and started making a name for myself, that name led to me being in prison when I was 16 years old. And the officers and the police officers and everybody over there, they knew exactly who I was. And one of them told me, he said, I can't wait till you turn to 16 so I can send you to prison for probably the rest of your life. And it just was like, you know, pretty much like what Mr. Hughes of our song was saying, that it was a sense of power. When I was recognized for doing the wrong thing, I got gratification out of that. I got like a sense of power, and then I wanted to do more, and it led to me doing bigger crimes and bigger episodes of destruction, you know. And we just here trying to turn that around for you.
How much of your life have you actually spent in prison?
I spent 28 years. And what you said, have I spent where?
How much of your life have you actually spent in prison?
I didn't hear you too good.
I said, how much of your life have you spent in prison?
In prison? Oh, I did 28 years. I did 28 years without, in prison. I went to prison for
consecutively?
Well, that's what happened. At 16 years old, I went to prison for a few counts of robbery and attempted murder and a couple of assaults. And I was sentenced to 33 and a third to 75 years. While I was in prison, I got 13 years knocked off of that, off of the sentence. So eventually, I just did 24 years straight. I came home in 2007.
Wait a minute. Let me interrupt you.
Yes.
Could you please tell our listeners, how did you get that 13 knocked off?
Well, I got that 13 knocked off because they gave me too much time. They ran some of my sentences consecutive that they shouldn't have ran consecutive. So I got that term. I got them sentences merged to each other, and it knocked 13 years off of my time. And I
was
started going to the law library.
So
I was released in 2007. Eventually, I was doing appeals with my lawyers and everything, and it didn't work out. So I had to do my own research in the law library and submit my own motions to the courts. And eventually, they like knocked 13 years off in 2005. 2007, I was released out of prison after doing 24 years. In 2008, I was back incarcerated for four more years. I was sentenced to four more years for selling drugs. And
well, that wasn't enough time for you.
Excuse me? I didn't hear you.
I said, so them years wasn't enough, and 20-some years wasn't enough.
Nah, it wasn't. In fact, it wasn't, because what I didn't realize was I valued something that I didn't understand that I valued. And what I valued was the street life. I value having that full sense of power when people looking at me like, yo, like Mr. Hughes was saying, like Rashawn was saying, oh, he's a man. I wanted that. I wanted that back. And then not understanding that, it allowed me to get back into the street life. But once I understood my values, I understood what I value, and was able to like put everything in its proper perspective. I understood. situation and help myself out.
Mr. Galloway, I want to ask you this. What was it like for your family with the time that you were incarcerated?
What was it like for my family?
Yeah.
Well, I was the only boy. My mother was a single mother. She raised five kids on her own. And I just didn't like being in the house with my sisters. I needed male figures in my life, so I was in the street.
Right, and I'm laughing because I have four daughters and one son, and I can imagine...
You asked me about being incarcerated. Yeah, right, okay, for my family. I didn't hear you correctly. Well, let me say this, that it was very hard because the toughness of it is that my mother, she came up to see me, and while I was in prison, she passed away. The blessing that I got to get home was that I was released on her birthday. But the fact is, matter, she wasn't there to see me be released out of prison. And it's even, speaking about it now, it just, like, breaks me up because that's one thing that she wanted. She wanted me to come home while she was alive. And I didn't make it home while she was alive, but it was a blessing. I think it was a gateway for me to get out. Her spirit allowed me to just, like, bless me to get out of prison, man. And I honestly believe that. So it was very hard for my family. And right now, with my family, I take my family serious right now. I got 30-something nieces and nephews, and I participate in all their lives at some point in time.
And you know what? That's why I asked that question, because people don't realize that when you get in prison, you also imprison your family. And then, you know, your family actually goes through this with you, missing you, needing you. I tell my son all the time, when you go in jail, you just leave me in the street, like, basically, for anything to happen to me. Anything to happen, because I don't have my family structure. So, Rashawn, this question is for you. What was it like for you, being that you were involved in a crime that resulted in multiple victims? And I say multiple victims because families are also victims of your crimes as well. Not only your victim's family, but also your family.
I couldn't agree with you more. And it extends far beyond my family, the victim's family. First of all, let me speak about Carlos Guevara. I shot and killed Carlos Guevara on April 25th, 1991, as a result of street violence. So, in anything that I do, I like to always bring him up because he deserves that credit, because he deserves the right to live. He had deserved the right to redeem himself, and he didn't deserve what I did to him. But victims, criminal behavior is really all about the victims. And I think a lot of young men, a lot of young women who's in the criminal lifestyle, they don't understand the gravity or the extensiveness when it comes to victimization. Our families are victims. Our communities are victims. You know, just recently, me and one of my brothers, who was 5 years younger than me, he's 43, had a deep conversation, and he just started breaking down crying. And he said, I never told you this, but when you left, you took a big part of me. And here's a 43-year-old man that was breaking down, telling me how much my absence in his life affected his life. So,
because it's true.
It is true. What you said is very true. Like Mr. Galloway, I never got to see my mother alive when I got released. I did 24 years for committing a murder. I shot and killed a man when I was 21 years old. My mother never got to see the man that I've become. My daughters, I have two daughters who grew up without a father.
Right.
Carlos Guevara's wife, his mother, his family grew up without a son, grew up without a husband.
Right.
The community in and of itself, they had to witness this violence. I made individuals scared to walk out their house. So victimization, if people don't really understand the impact of crime, they really need to before they decide they want to be in this lifestyle. And that's what me and Mr. Galloway do. We teach young people about the idea of criminal behavior. We really want them
right,
to see.
Right, so we're getting ready to get into that. But what I wanted to know is, when did you guys realize and decide that you wanted to change the direction of your life, and not only change the direction of your life, but to seek the education, and congratulations to you on that, and to start on a path to making a difference for us? When did you decide?
Well, I realized it once I came back to prison after doing 4 years. After doing 24 years, when I came back to prison, I realized that I got to do something different. And I realized that there's something wrong with the way I was thinking. So they had a program when I was in prison called the Merle Cooper Program, and I inducted myself into it. I put myself into the program. They had psychologists there, counseling, and it was an intense program. And the main thing that they talked about was how to identify what your values was and to address the person that you became while you were doing the things you were doing. So I had to address the bad guy and put the bad guy forward, because we always, regardless of what we're doing out in the street, we always look at ourselves as good people. As long as I'm taking care of my family, I'm a good person. But the truth, that's not right. The fact is that I got countless victims. Like Mr. Hughes was saying, I got victims of the people that witnessed what I did or heard about what I did, and the families that it affected. You know, just the community around, the surrounding area where I committed crimes at, they were victims also. So while I was in that program, it helped me identify with my values, and then gave me a chance to create new values for myself. And in doing that, it inspired me to know that this information needs to be put out to our youth so they can understand that what their values are. Because, for instance, you got kids out there selling drugs, and they say they're taking care of their family and doing this for their family. And true, they're not, because this can take you away from your family. Yes.
I have a question for you. How is it with the family? Do you give back to the victim family? Like, how is the connection with, I know that what you're doing is an excellent, excellent thing with inside the community base. But what about the direct effect of the family that has really been affected by the homicide? And I'm asking this question because, like you, myself, I did 7.5 years for homicide.
Okay. So let me answer that. What I do personally, first of all, I'm also a published author, and I write books. So what I did is create a scholarship fund in my victim's name. So I'll give a scholarship to young kids in my victim's name just to keep his memory alive. But the best thing we could do when it comes to how do we give back to family, because there's some crimes, like me, myself, murder, or homicide, I don't think we can atone for. I really don't think there's something that we could do that can equal or amount to atonement. But what we can do is become the best person that we could be. What we need to do is give back, to try to help as many people as we can, to serve our community as much as we can, because that is the response, that is now on us. Because there's some other young man out there who's looked up to me and said, I want to be like Rashawn. And I want him to know, or her to know, that, you know, being like Rashawn is not really what's up. Being like the new Rashawn, or the latter Rashawn, or the Rashawn that who's responsible today. Yeah, that's what's up.
And I have another question for you, Rashawn. Okay, like I said, like you gentlemen, myself as me being a woman and convicted of third-degree murder, and I do the same exact things that you do in the state of Pennsylvania, and I do it under an organization called Mothers in Charge. And we do the prevention, we do all of that. And I'm also with the organization called the National Council for Incarcerated and Formerly Incarcerated Women and Girls. And what we do, because you gentlemen, my question is, because you gentlemen did a massive amount of time, there's so many people that, not just on the outside, and we reach the prevention, we need more like you from the inside, that once they get out, do you initiate that by going back into the prison and pulling them back out and helping them stay out?
Well, what we're trying to do is we're trying to hide them when they come out. there's one thing about individuals like us. Young people, for whatever reason, give us more credibility than they do the typical teacher. So they give us credibility because they like to hear our story. So we have this unique experience that young people are willing to listen to. And if an individual truly, like Mr. Galloway said, get his value system together, then he has this unique ability to touch young people in a way that most regular teachers, guidance counselors, mentors are unable to touch them because they haven't lived the life. So they cannot go in front of young people and tell them, listen, I know what this is because I've walked this walk. So when individuals like ourselves who've been through this, who have walked this walk, we come in front of young people, they are all ears, they're open to our suggestions, they are open to our possibilities, they are open to our teachings, they're open to our lessons. And that is something that individuals who are incarcerated, they need to really understand their own potential. They really need to understand what it is that they could give back to this situation.
Okay, so hold on, everybody. Hold on, everybody, because we're running out of time. We got 13 minutes left. I can't wait to get you guys back on the line. I love the conversation that we're having, and it's so necessary and so important. But I want you to tell us about your build program and where it's located and what you do there.
Well, Youth Build Long Island is a program that is geared towards attracting individuals from 18 to 24-year-olds who are out of school, who feel disconnected, who feel like, you know, where else am I going to turn? It's a program, it's an academic, vocational, and leadership development program where we get young adults come in, and we teach them about their own potential. We're a signature program of United Way of Long Island, and I am very grateful for them because they had the vision to hire somebody like myself and Mr. Andre Galloway. They understood the significance of our experiences and our background and said, despite what y'all been through, we're going to hire people like you because we understand that there's people like you that could get through.
I was going to ask you that. What was it like re-entering society after both of you being gone the past 2 decades and then going after a job as such with your background? Like, how did you prepare for that? Like, what was that like for you guys?
For myself, like you said, I'm honest because the truth of the matter is that I'm not going to get a job being around prestigious people such as that United Way and the board meetings that we be in and the luncheons that we be in and all the other experiences that have taken us through. So for me, it's like sometimes we look at each other and we say to each other, we be like, yo, we went from the cell room to the boardroom. And we're here, so we're grateful for that. It's an honor to be. I look at the students, first of all, because that's what I'm there for. And I try to give them what's in my heart. I try to give them righteousness. And I try to give them what they need so they can walk in the proper path. Because sometimes they get distracted. But being in that job, it grounds me. Having the students there grounds me. It helps me more probably than it helps them. So I'm honored to be there. I'm honored to be, you know, it's a beautiful thing.
Well, don't get it.
And how about you, Rashawn?
For me, it is an honor, but don't get it twisted. Like, you know, and this is what I want to say to my brothers that are incarcerated, to my sisters that are incarcerated. You need to prepare for your eventual liberation while you're incarcerated. From the moment you go to prison, you need to start preparing to come home. While I was in prison, I earned 2 degrees. I changed my whole value system while I was in the sea. I didn't think college was for me. However, when I went to prison, I realized that, listen, I could do this. So I didn't spend my time in the yard hanging out, sat rapping with individuals about what we got, what we did. What I did was decided that I'm going to go ahead and get some degrees. I'm going to leave because I know my battle is going to be all up there. So when I was eventually released, I went to apply for this job, and I let them know, I was honest with them, this is my background. And I had 6 interviews. Not 1, not 2, not 3. I had 6 interviews.
Under pressure.
To convince these people that I was the right man for this job, that I could change young people's lives. So when it comes to that, it is a challenge. But nevertheless, it was a challenge that I was willing to embrace.
What was the barrier of after doing so many years, you know, they say one is institutionalized. What was the barrier to overcome the fact that you wanted your liberation and to prove the fact that you're not institutionalized? You could transform from being incarcerated, from them giving you a number to you counting numbers of how many people that you are preventing from entering the system.
I didn't hear it.
So institutionalization.
He basically wants to know how many people are you preventing from entering the system at this point.
Well, at this point,
right?
We are touching lives on a daily basis. I mean, whether they're in Youthville, Long Island, whether it's a young man or woman I see on the street, I try to influence their life. Institutionalization is very much real. And for a lot of my brothers and sisters who are incarcerated, one thing that I tell me and Mr. Galloway always speak about every day is that prison life is a totally different life from when we are in society. What we did in there, the values we held while we was incarcerated, are not values that we could hold while we're in society. So it is a challenge for all of us who once were incarcerated. But it's a challenge that we definitely have the ability to overcome. There's no doubt that individuals who are incarcerated, they may see, like, when they come home, how I'm going to get a job, how I'm going to adjust to my family. It can be done. It is possible. But you have to work on that while you're incarcerated. You can't become cold-hearted. While you're incarcerated, you got to work on that. And what happens is most criminals, we lose our humanity because we go into this system, we go into this space that teaches us to be even harder than it is while in society. So you have to challenge that. So the work really begins while you're incarcerated.
Exactly. So I know that you guys are looking to start your own program. So tell me about that program, what it's going to take to make it happen, how we can lend support, how people can reach out to you to first tell us about the program, how we can find you, contact you, and how we can make your program happen.
Well, our program that we want to put forth is called U-Turn, Young Lives Matter. And what me and Mr. Galloway would like to do is take our experiences outside of Long Island and start branching out to other communities, Atlanta, California, Chicago. What we want to do is tell them about prison life, what it means to hurt others, what it means to be incarcerated. Exactly the conversation we're having today, we want to expand this conversation throughout our nation because for whatever reason, young people believe prison is some sort of rites of passage. So we want to talk about the depths of prison life. We want to talk about what it means to victimize others. What do that really mean? We want to talk about, especially talk to our young brothers, our young men, talk about what it means to be in tune with your feelings, your thoughts, your actions, your behaviors. Because young men, we have to suppress our feelings. And this is what happens when you suppress your feelings. We can find ourselves to be so cold that it's easy for us to hurt people. So when we can get young men to start expressing what they really feel inside, we think or we truly believe that young men won't be as violent as they are. So we're trying to get this out there to different organizations. We're trying to take individuals who've been through this struggle and utilize them as tools or instruments for other young people to see this is not the life that I want to live. So that's what we're trying to do at this very moment.
That's exactly what we want to do over here at the Ms. Goldie's radio show. You already see my sister on the line. She's already on the movement for the females and the mothers. And, you know, you got the youth. If we all work together, I'm pretty sure it's no way on God's green earth that we can shake something. So tell people how they can get in contact with us.
They can contact us at ronald@unitedwayli.org. My phone number is 631-327-2793.
I don't know my phone.
That is 631-327-2793.
Okay, let me know what is it going to take to make this happen.
Well, we're just looking for people to, you know, book us, call us. We need individuals like yourself who's going to give us the opportunity to speak about what it is that we do. And we're just trying to branch out at this moment right now. We want to take our road, our show on the road, get out of New York, branch out. Because right now we do a lot of speaking engagements in New York. But we're available. We will travel to Atlanta, to Chicago, the Carolinas, wherever we're needed, we will travel.
Well, I'm going to reach out to y'all because, like I said, I work with Mothers in Charge. So I'm going to reach out to y'all on a later event so we can do this together.
Okay. That would be truly
appreciated. Well, we're definitely going to be working together. We got some stuff in the pot. We got an inner city revival coming up that we're working on. And we're going to bring together all of our resources. And the Ms. Goldie T radio show definitely supports you. And we will be working together because your services are needed all over the world. And thank you so much for being a guest on the Ms. Goldie T radio show. It has been my ultimate pleasure. And I will have you back on my show again. We will hear more about my guest, Mr. Andre Galloway and Mr. Rashawn Hughes from Build a Long Island United Way. And thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you to my lovely co-host, Miss Addie Palachi. I love my Culture Zine Radio Network family.
Yeah.
And we're going to take it out of here with my homeboy, Kia, with Book.
Thank you for having me.
Have you ever tried to dodge a bullet? 1 foot from where they pull it. That ain't working out, but I'ma figure out how I'ma work it out. Oh, hooked up with the misses, still some with the kisses, hey. But you know these women up in the business, run they listen.
You know R&B life, and they wanna lead type. Sony got this kid's life.
Shut your bumble. Y'all know everything, with no wedding ring, so trifling, nah, 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 nah.
I don't wanna get shut down.
No! Have you ever tried to dodge a bullet? Have you ever tried to dodge a bullet? I wonder, will I make it out alive? Have you ever tried to dodge a bullet? Knowing that you couldn't, yeah. Trying to take me out, I might not make it out, but we gon' take it out, oh. Still hug with the missus, bugged out over the glass. But remember these women up in the business. Now they got pictures of.
Girl, let me fight him. Never trust a light skin. I don't even like him.
OMFNG, y'all don't understand. It was just a friend. Smack that iPhone out your hand. I don't wanna get shot down.
You little dumbass.
They don't wanna see us free. They don't wanna see good love together.